give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 10:16 on this Thursday night following Flyers hockey. Welcome in the crease. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until midnight tonight. Flyers fall once again 5-4 in regulation to the Minnesota Wild. Their record now stands 16-28-10, where the Wild improved to 32-17-3 after tonight's victory. Still along this 8-game homestand with just a few more to play as the Flyers fall once again and remain at the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. They are at 42 points with the New Jersey Devils 1 point better than them right now in the standings. They did get off to a quick start. Scott Laughton getting the first goal very early to make it 1-0. But then Ryan Hartman tied it up. Patrick Brown gets one. And Gaudreau tied it up going into the intermission with just 4 seconds remaining in the first period. So right there, man, I mean, that's something when you look at the Flyers and just look at their season overall in totality and see where they have been, what they've been able to do all season long, and what they've been doing. It's just a microcosm of things. Now, again, the game was close. They took the lead again, and then they took the lead again in the second period. Konechny and Van Riemsdyk put them up 3-2, and then later 4-3 on Van Riemsdyk's play going into the second intermission. But even though they wound up having that lead going into that second intermission, you do look at what happened in that first period and say, you know, what's going on there at the end where you are simply trying to go into that one with the lead? And maybe things change a bit. Maybe Konechny still gets that goal early in the second period, and they are up now instead of 3-2. They're up 3-1 because you were able to hold up. So unfortunate that it worked out that way. Going into the second intermission, once again, they're up 4-3, but then they give up 2 goals in the third period with just a little over 20 plus seconds apart from when Boldy and Brodin got their goals. And right there, you have the Flyers once again falling again, this time to the Minnesota Wild tonight. So typical stuff from the Flyers. Unfortunately, if you're leaving the arena and you want to talk about the game tonight, we're here. Feel free. 610-632-0975. Next up for the Flyers, that will be the Chicago Blackhawks on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock puck drop right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we will have the coverage for you beginning just around a little bit earlier than that time and get started with the Flyers and the Blackhawks here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But we'll take your phone calls going in the crease until midnight tonight, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Tom Alvord is here as well. We'll get Tom's thoughts as we go along. Get his thoughts on the Flyers. See what he thought. This is, again, all too normal for the both of us when we get together where they do this and they fall once again. We have other things to get into as well from the Sixers last night. I had a quick opportunity to speak to everyone last night after the game live from the center about an hour post-game show. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about what we saw last night, because in 3 games, they're 3-0 with James Harden. And your 3 leaders right now, as far as your offensive leaders, Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey. And just stepping up the way that Maxey is stepping up, it's very encouraging to see the young guy doing what he's doing out there on the floor next to those two all-NBA all-star players, the two all-league guys, and he's performing and holding his own against the opposition with those two on the floor. Very encouraging to see what Tyrese Maxey has been able to do for the Philadelphia 76ers next to Harden and Embiid. It really is, and that was one of the questions that many of us had coming into the start of the new era. How is Maxey, how is Harris going to blend with James Harden? Well, he's passing the test, man. I tell you, we all liked him, and many of us did not want to give him up in any deal involving James Harden last season, James Harden this season, and they were able to keep him and keep him next to him. And I wanted to keep him in the starting lineup. I had my reasons. Others had their reasons for wanting him to come off the bench, which neither of us were wrong. We all thought that he was a very good player, and what he was able to bring to the table was going to be beneficial to the team in whatever role he was going to be playing, whether it was a guy coming off of the bench as a sixth man but leading that unit, or a starter next to Embiid, Harris, and Harden, with Matisse Thybulle in there as well, being able to do the damage with the starters, and he has done just that. So far, we're looking at Maxey in the three games, 28, 21, and 25 in the games that they've played against Minnesota and the two against New York. And they are the first trio, according to Elias Sports, of teammates to each score 20-plus points in their first three games together in NBA history. Fantastic stat. That's just a fantastic stat. Can they keep it up? I doubt it that they can keep it up to this level, but I think we all know what Embiid and Harden are capable of, and Maxey is really starting to make people who may have been a little skeptical believers of his ability on the floor and how much he can contribute and how he can contribute to a team overall. So really good to see that from Tyrese Maxey. Very encouraging for him to be able to do what he's doing and then go out there and just flat out ball out and not think about anything except for when he shared with us all that James Harden asked him if he was going to play tonight, because he simply was not doing so in the first half with only 4 points, not being aggressive enough. He was deferring to the other guys when you could see that they needed something. They needed some kind of punch in that first half. He wasn't bringing it. Harris wasn't bringing it. Harden was, and Embiid did his part. They needed someone else to step up, and Maxey did it in the third quarter and in the fourth, where he ended up with 21 in the second half, 4 of 6 overall from distance, and absolutely doing his thing in the second half against the New York Knicks team. A name that Tom and I saw the other night is popping up. I don't know if you're going to save that for leftovers, but Nick Stauskas, who scored 57 on Tuesday, and Pat Egan, hang on, don't go anywhere, Pat Egan, look at the window. Nick Stauskas scored 57 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he had 43, I think it was, so 100 points in two games. Just signed a two-way deal with the Boston Celtics. With the Boston Celtics. They had space on their roster after making so many moves around the deadline and all, and they bring in Sauce. They bring in Sauce to come in on a two-way deal, according to his agent, now with the Boston Celtics. So former Sixer Nick Stauskas, he is now a member of the Boston Celtics after a historic week where he dropped 57 and 43 in back-to-back games for his Nuggets affiliate where he was playing for their team. So there you go, Nick Stauskas back in the mix. Nick Stauskas back in the mix overall and in the Atlantic Division. So we won't see him anymore this season because they have played their allotment of the 4 games between the two clubs. So we'll have to catch him in the postseason. And now they add some shooting. And maybe something has clicked for Nick Stauskas where he can find his way staying with them out there in Boston, who just won another game tonight, by the way. I think they're 13-16 in their 13 of their last 16, so they've been on a roll, and they've been playing some really, really, really good basketball. So watch out for them as they continue to creep up in the Eastern Conference standings. But don't forget again that we're in the crease. Flyers fall 5-4 to the Minnesota Wild. They drop another game. They're second in a row. Oilers and Wild the last two. Blackhawks next up for the Flyers, as they just simply continue to play. You know, look, they put up some offense tonight. They just couldn't hold on to things. And they have three games remaining on this homestand. Chicago and Vegas, the 2 games remaining Saturday and Tuesday of the 8-game homestand. So far, only 1 win during this visit home in the 6 games played. Let's hope that they can take these last two against Chicago and Vegas on Saturday and on Tuesday as they close out things here at home. So bottom of the Metropolitan once again, and It's just not a good thing with this team overall. Chicago's not all that great, so they have a chance against Chicago. And Vegas, 29-19-7. A little payback, too, because they beat Vegas, 30-20-4 for 64 points in the Pacific for Vegas. Payback because the Flyers went out there and won earlier in the season. So I'm sure they're going to be looking to not drop one against this team here on Tuesday to close out the homestand for the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll take your phone calls as we go in the crease, 610-632-0975. Your thoughts and your leftover thoughts that you might have from last night in the Sixers win, a big win over the New York Knicks. And I know it's only three games, and I know it's just the New York Knicks for two of them and Minnesota the other last Friday, which was 6 days ago. But they're playing good basketball. I mean, I know you want to see them play against a tougher opponent, and they will do that against Cleveland. Tomorrow, Cleveland may not have their full team because they've been playing without some guys due to injury. And as a result, is that going to then maybe make people feel like they did not beat a good Cleveland Cavaliers team because they didn't have everybody at their disposal for them? Darius Garland is back. He had 33 last night, but they got blown out by 21 to the Charlotte Hornets. So I don't know what the excuse would be if they beat them tomorrow and they do so handily against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They do have Garland, Mobley, Markkanen, and Jared Allen, their typical starters that they have out there. They were available. They just got rocked in Charlotte, at home against the Charlotte Hornets. Cleveland now 36-26, 19-11 at home, and the Sixers don't look now, but they're in second place after the Chicago Bulls fell to the Atlanta Hawks tonight, 130-124. Miami won again over Brooklyn, 113-107. Boston, as I mentioned, they won their game over the Grizzlies, 120-107. Jason Tatum was phenomenal with 30-plus points in that one. So right now, Cleveland is sixth, two games up on the Raptors, five games up on the Nets. The Raptors have a three-game advantage over the Brooklyn Nets. The Boston Celtics have a half a game up on the Cleveland Cavaliers for fifth. They're one game back of the Bulls, of the Bucks, two games back of the Bulls for third, and they are two games back of the Sixers as well. Sixers have the tiebreaker over the Chicago Bulls because of the head-to-head matchup where they have beaten them all three times that they have faced off. One more to play against the Bulls later on in the month, and the Sixers have won four games in a row. So stiff competition in the Eastern Conference. A lot of juggling will be there overall in the East, and that's why we say it's very important as the Sixers and the Bulls, 2.5 games back of the Miami Heat, and you play the Heat on Saturday, back-to-back, Friday and Saturday, Cleveland at home in Miami, late 8 o'clock start here on the Fanatic on the home of 76ers basketball. An important one, though, against the Heat on Saturday. Let's see if they can pick up and make up some ground there, hopefully with the victory over both Cleveland and Miami, which will maybe allow people to feel a lot better with a 5-0 start and beating better competition with those two teams now in your face as you get ready to take on those two teams. Some tough competition there. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll come right back. We'll get Mark to start things off with the Sixers. And again, you're more than welcome to call about the Flyers as we run until midnight in the crease. 610-632-0975. We take a quick 5-minute break. Mark, we got you first when we get back. Tom Alvord is here. We got the leftovers with him at 11:45. I'm Devon Givens with you until then, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10:35, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens in the crease. Flyers hockey here on The Fanatic. Falling to the Wild 5-4. And, before we get to the Sixers conversation, since we are really not talking to many people about it as they leave the arena and get into it, we can bring in Tom Alvord quickly and get Tom your thoughts on the Flyers tonight against the Minnesota Wild. The Wild do snap a four-game losing streak, and the Flyers continue on with their second consecutive loss and in the middle of this eight-game homestand with two games left.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to be said anymore rather than what you're saying. The Flyers are not a good hockey team at all. They haven't been besides maybe the first 2 weeks of the season. I believe they're still would have a top five pick or a top five worst record in the NHL after this game tonight. I mean, it wasn't like they scored. They were ahead. The issue is they blew four different leads in this game. They had 15 turnovers, and Carter Hart didn't have his best game, and it seems like Carter Hart has to have his best game for this team to win, and it still doesn't happen half the time that he has his best game.
Yeah.
33 saves on 38 opportunities. Yeah, I mean, I said that at least there was effort. I'll give him that, and I know I'm not, you know, a lot of people aren't really ones for moral victories, and it's not, but like, you know, I guess that's all I can really say about this team. At least we didn't lose 6-0.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, you had a lead a few times.
Four times.
There you go. And you hoped they would have been able to sustain it, but they were unable to do so. Therefore, they pick up yet another loss in their record, 16-28-10 at the bottom of the Metropolitan with 42 points and way behind the division-leading Carolina Panthers with 79 points on the season. So there's that.
Yeah, fifth worst record. That's official.
There's that. Fifth worst record. Get the worst so you can get the guy.
I'm with that.
Yeah,
that works.
Go. At this point, you know, it's just what it is. So, all right, 610-632-0975. Sixers win last night. They looked impressive again. The atmosphere was amazing. Can I get your thoughts on that before we go to Mark and Rome and everybody? Because you were in the building, part of Knockout. You were the last man standing of the Fanatic family. And so congrats to you, except for when you started shooting them and you short-armed them on your free throws.
You called me out.
Tired or something.
Called me out last night. Yeah,
I did. And because you can't do that.
Man, that's the first time I've shot in free throws in 3 years. I went to the local park earlier that day and shot a couple up, but I wasn't running around like crazy. And not that we really were, but, you know, going from shooting a couple during the day to shooting, what, you know, a little bit more at night. My legs caught up to me, I guess you could say.
Well, great showing by you, though.
That was fun.
To end up in the top 10 with everybody. And congratulations to Dan Brandy from Collegeville, PA. He was the winner of Knockout last night at the center. So, but the crowd, it was amazing in there last night. The energy was really, really good before the game. When Harden came out for his pregame warm-up, people were crowding the lower bowl of the seats where they were allowed to be before they had to go to their seats. And they gave him a nice ovation when he came out just for his warm-up routine, because this was the first time seeing him in the Sixers gear at home. And, you know, he put on a nice little show for that. And then he put on a nice show during the game along with Embiid. Took them a while to get started overall as a team, but Harden, once he saw they were struggling early, he did his part. Embiid was doing his part. Maxey in the second half turned it up, and their defense turned it up. Their three-point shooting in the third quarter, they made 8 of 11 in the third quarter, made 10 field goals overall in the third, so meaning they only had 2 two-point field goals in the third quarter and didn't turn the ball over. They lit them up in the third, only giving up 19 points defensively as well. Great time to be in the building last night. The only thing I'll say is people were like, oh, this is like, it was like a playoff atmosphere, but I've heard it way louder in there. It was loud. It can get louder. And I'd imagine that it will once the playoffs get underway and they start to pick up those wins. But last night for you, what were your thoughts on the game and, of course, the atmosphere?
Yeah, so first game for me since before COVID, so what, almost 3 years now? And man, that was a fun game to go to. The atmosphere was awesome. The building was awesome. The crowd was awesome. And they just seemed like it was a very sluggish first half. They were down, it seemed like double digits for a majority of that first half. But like good teams do, and even though they've only played three games together, it seemed like they could just turn on a switch at any time, and that they know that they're better than the Knicks, and they know that they were better than the Timberwolves the other night. Like, this is just, it's a legit team. It's a real team, and they know that. And the fact that they've had all the success, now, granted, against the Knicks, against the Timberwolves, they have the real...
You can only play those in front of you.
Absolutely, and they have a tougher schedule coming up, some tougher matchups, including tomorrow against the Cavs and the Heat on Saturday. But they just look like in a different class these last three games, and they look like they can turn it on at any time they want. Tyrese Maxey, I'm looking at the box score, and I'm like, this dude had, I think, 4 points in the first half.
4 points.
And me and I was sitting with Hunter Brody, who does weekends here as well, and we're just like, man, this is odd from Maxey, especially what we've seen the last two games. And then the quote comes out that Harden goes, hey, you planning on playing tonight? And Maxey said, yep, and goes out there and scores 21 points in the second half. Finishes with 25, I believe. 25. Just an awesome atmosphere. And one thing, it seems like every time I've watched Harden on the Sixers, and obviously we all watch Harden, he's a great player, he's been a great player for the last decade or so, something new stands out to me each game that Harden plays. Like a couple games ago was the IQ, then it's the passing ability, then it's the step back jumper. Last night, it was his strength. Seeing it first, in person, his balance and strength, the ability to get to the rim against all those trees at 7 feet and still have the control of the ball, have the balance, be able to put up the layup and get the and one is just, I'm really glad he's on our team, Devon. I'll say that.
That was one of the buckets that he actually had early in the game where, again, they were struggling a bit. He got an and one.
He was hot in the first half, at least.
He put his body into, I think Mitchell Robinson went up, got an and one, and I think it was like 17-11, 17-13, something like that. But he just... continues to show the good things that he can bring to the table for this team. And it's fun to see them play. The one thing that stood out to me, and it will come to Mark to start things off, Rome as well, everybody else there, 610-632-0975, is that I knew that, and I'm sure many did, because I was actually texting with my cousin, who was also up there with you guys watching the game. We were texting, and we were like, the Knicks are playing pretty good. R.J. Barrett is getting everything that he wants. Julius Randle's hitting, playing pretty well. Sixers is only down 7 after Tobias Harris raced down the court, got that layup to close things out and go into the locker room. Sixers is only down 7. Got their best punch. And they extended it a little bit. Sixers closed it. Embiid had that behind-the-back flip thing, and then he had a 3. Sixers, I think, were in 1 point down. And Knicks called timeout after the 3. They came out, scored a few more, extend their lead, and then boom, Sixers just took off. So, again, halftime for me, being down by 7, only 7 with the way they played in that first half, you knew they had it in them to do it. They only needed one quarter, as my cousin and I were texting back and forth. They only needed one quarter. And that quarter was after halftime, where they went 8-for-11 from deep, no turnovers, 10 made field goals, 8 of them, though, on those three-pointers. You'll take that.
Yeah, and it's funny because they were down 7 at half, and, you know, obviously the game's been a while, so I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go to the bathroom, like, with 5 minutes left of half, maybe it'll clear out by them. I was wrong, and yeah, I didn't get up there until about 9 minutes. 3 minutes had passed by in the third quarter, and the game was tired. They were down 1 point or maybe even ahead at that point. I look over to Brody. I'm like, what happened? And he's just like, yeah, the Sixers happened. They're really good. And I'm like, wow, that was happened out of nowhere, and it seems like it can happen that quick at any time.
Just that quickly, and they got it done, man. All right, 610-632-0975. One move for the Sixers that many people were waiting for. The Sixers have officially signed for the remainder of the season. That would be one DeAndre Jordan. He will be your backup center now, I presume, where he will take those minutes maybe from Paul Millsap, Paul Reed, Charles Bassey. We'll see how it all goes. 13-year vet, made the All-Star team once, played for Doc Rivers for many years with the L.A. Clippers. So he was there with him for many, many years. The familiarity with him should bode well for this team, knowing best how to use him. He's not the same guy, of course, from Lob City. He is a 13-year vet. He knows how to play the game. A lot of drop coverages on defense, a lot of hedging out and being able to retreat and get back. And also, as we talked about with those reserve minutes, if he is going to be there with Shake Milton, who's a very good guy who can throw a lob, we've seen it with both Andre Drummond and Dwight Howard. certainly with James Harden as lob throwers. He can also get you some offensive rebounds. He hasn't done much this season, averaging 4 points and five boards in 12.8 minutes, shooting 67% from the field. That's all you need from him off the bench, and 12 minutes max is probably what you're going to get. And he's playing with a better team here in Philadelphia. So we'll see what he does. I'm not mad at it. It's not the names that we were talking about before during the buyout period, but it is a name. Let's see what he does. Maybe he has a little bit of a rejuvenation here in Philadelphia and kickstarts. Like, to kickstart it again, because he kickstarted it again before. Let's see if he can do it again. So re-kickstarting again for the Sixers, and he will wear jersey number 9 for the 76ers. So in a related move, they did move on from Willie Cauley-Stein, releasing him of his 10-day contract, and that's why we never saw him, because he was never really going to be here.
He played 5 minutes total in 3 games for the 76ers.
There you have it. So thank you, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Like $130,000 for those 5 minutes.
It's good money.
It's not bad.
It's good money. It's really good money. So, all right, 610-632-0975. Mark in Lumberton tipping things off for us here tonight on the Fanatic. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Devon, it's been a minute. How you been?
Pretty good, man. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. Just listening in, been watching the Sixers. Been watching the Sixers since they brought in Harden. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, as much trouble as Harden will get from national media, from local media up in Brooklyn or down in Houston, like, you want to talk about, like, such a naturally sledding fit. Like, it was effortless watching him come into Philly. Like, you're talking about, like, the vision with the passing, with the ability to create his own shots, with the ability to drive up into the lane, like, you're talking about a player that just complements Philly's playstyle so well, especially with Joe, especially with Tyrese Maxey, who I was talking with a coworker of mine today, and like, you want to talk about, you know, like, players who get better with every game. Like, you can visibly see Tyrese Maxey getting better with every game. And like, he is already so good. And it's just so much fun to watch, and you see these players, they're having fun on the court. And I'll say this, like, you know, like, people will say, oh, we've only played, you know, like, the Knicks and the Bulls. Well, like, the Harden trade happened, and we played the Bulls and the Bucks, and we won both of those games. And you're talking about, like, a healthy Bucks team where their top three scored 75 points, and, like, you know, like, Joe had a 40-point game, sure, but, like, you're also talking about a game where, like, Tobias had a plus 20-point game. Like, Furkan had, like, a 16 or 18-point game off the bench. Like, the beauty of the team is, like, even, like, the bench guys, they will have at least the opportunity to score those double-digit games. And even if they're not scoring those double digits, like, they're still, like, doing enough where, like, the main guys will come back onto the court, and it's still going to be a win for the Sixers.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely don't remember having this much fun watching the Sixers at any point when Ben Simmons was playing.
I did, because I liked how when he was engaged and locked into it, Mark. Of course, he didn't do all the things that we wanted him to, but I can't ignore when he would have those big scoring months, and they were winning, like when they went on that 17-game winning streak going into the playoffs. That was fun as heck, man, and that was a good time. But I understand, because this is a real energy that they have going on here, and it's great to see it, man. It's great to be a part of. It's great to see the fans. Although the Sixers are already a good team, they're now that team that we look at and say, again, like many have already pointed out, and I'll just reiterate it, that they have a chance. They have a real chance to do something in this tough Eastern Conference. But as I say, man, I'm not scared of any of these other teams. They're all very, very, very good, and they have to play the Sixers too. So they have to stop the Sixers just like the Sixers have to stop them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And it's funny, because I am in, like, a fantasy football league, where, like, the majority of the guys there are Brooklyn Nets fans. And, you know, the trade happened, and, you know, like, I am the only Sixers fan in that group chat. And we're going back and forth. And, like, one of my buddies, I've been friends with him for over a decade, was like, Ben Simmons is going to be an NBA championship before Joel Embiid. And I was just like, I'm saving this particular message, because I am, like, just watching the last few years. And, like, one of the things, and, like, I might be completely wrong about this, but if you're talking about a locker room with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons. Like, I've been joking for the last few weeks. I'm like, that might be the most dramatic locker room, or like the most dysfunctional locker room that you could probably imagine amongst guys, where it's, you've got three players who are all great in their own right, but it's just kind of like, in terms of like an ability to play with each other to a degree where they're not stepping on each other's toes, like, I just don't see it. Whereas like with the Sixers, everybody's bought into the message of like, hey, this is a team where like if Shake can come off the bench and score 20, like, everyone's going to...
I haven't seen that one in a while, though.
But, like, no one's going to question it, right? No one's going to be like, oh, where's this Shake been? It's been like, all right, Shake put up 20 tonight, cool. But then, like, the next game, Shake can put up, like, 6 in 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. But, like, Furkan will step up. Or, like, somebody else will step up. Like, it's not, like, an issue of, like, can we count on this player to put up this many points in this many minutes? Or, like, to put up these stats in this many minutes? Or have this plus minus, there's always kind of like the idea that somebody is going to step up in that particular game. And I think that's something that like is a little bit like, I don't want to say underrated, but like might be where like you don't necessarily have to count on one particular guy, but there's like a whole bench where at any particular moment there is somebody who is going to step up in a game.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. Mark, it's great to catch up with you again, man. Thanks for the call. We got some good basketball, man. Hopefully it goes deep into June, man. Thank you.
It's going to be fun. Have a good night, Devon.
You too, man. It really will be, man. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you. Good to hear from Mark and just the excitement, again, that everyone feels right now with the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, also, before we go to break, Rome, you'll be first, man. I want to give you all your time. Of course, you know how I do it, just like Mark. I will get on Ben Simmons for a lot of things. We had some fun moments when Ben Simmons was handling that basketball, leading them to the 50 wins, of course, getting to the playoffs. That's kind of where it stopped in the second round for him. First round matchups, he was always pretty good, except for Washington. Dating back to the Brooklyn and the Miami series, he was very, very, very good. To me, the best player on the floor for those team, for those series. We know where it stopped, but we did have some fun times with him. This does feel like a different type of energy with James Harden here. It really does. Maybe the saga just added to it, and now bringing in Harden does wonders for this basketball team. All right. Come right back, get the 11 o'clock hour underway. We'll also talk about what Howie Roseman had to say at the combine yesterday and things getting started. I got to give my man Tyler Zuli some props. Tom Alvord, he's been on Malik Willis since last summer. Now everybody wants to jump on in. Malik Willis just showed his arm off at the combine. He said, I'm not ducking anybody. Let me show my arm. And he just flicked the wrist, you know, just, you know, light 60-plus yards down the field for Malik Willis. So we'll talk about that. We'll get Howie Roseman as well. 610-632-0975. We come right back. Rome, you first when we come back right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Eat my cracker. The Ritz.
It's a good cracker.
It's a very good cracker. You know how they say you have Lay's and what is it? You can't just have one, something, whatever. That's how I look at the Ritz crackers. You can't just, like saltines, you can have one or two while you're eating some soup and then you're done. Like when Chick-fil-A gives you the saltine.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't sit there and just eat a whole pack of saltines. Some people can, peanut butter and all that. I'm a Ritz guy. I like Ritz.
Man, I can't.
I like how they put them in the, you saw the package
I
had.
Yeah, little sleeve they got.
Yeah, the little individual things. Yeah, I like those.
I can't eat just one of anything. So, whether it's a cookie, a piece of candy, chips, you're talking to the wrong guy because I'll never say no.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, you know, as long as it's stuff I enjoy, if it's something I'm not into, then I will say no. But, yeah.
You know, I got a problem. Snacks. I have a problem.
You're a snack guy. Big snack
guy. Yeah. Yes. Big time. So now I know we have that in common. Okay.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. 610-632-0975. All right. We're going to get to Howie shortly. We'll get to all of that. But let's go to Jerome in Elkins Park with us here next to talk a little hoops. What's up, Rome?
Hey, Devon, Mark. Yeah, I'll snack too, you know. So
yeah.
There's a three-peat here happening.
That's right, man. And listen, it's a problem. Not a problem, but it's,
No, it's a guilty pleasure.
That's right.
Making a bad joke, I know Harden is brave because if you're going to wear some of the wardrobe he has, you got to be brave. It's a joke.
Oh, man. The beard.
That's a joke.
Did you hear him being announced as the beard? James the Beard Harden.
Yeah.
Matty Cord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You know why people should appreciate you, Devon? Not just the fact that you're one of the hours you're on, but the fact is that you look at things realistically. Your thing of the East isn't the East like it used to be. And these games that they've won, I'm glad that the two stars meshed. Maxey, I mean, I would have been completely out of Philadelphia if they had to let him go. So, you know, the organization to pick at a 21 and the things they people project, and he's hitting a jump shot, whatever, you know, just scratching the surface. And, you know, it's like 20 games. The marathon is over. Now it's a sprint. You know, shake it up like I'm saying. It's like I'm clapping my hand, but I want to pace myself. Because we've got, like you say, a week coming up where the resistance is not a straight line. I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to hear your thoughts. But this is, like I said, those teams have been together in a lot of cases, went some further. And to do and be effective in 20 games, we're going to have to see whether the maestro pulled the right strings, called the right stuff. But I like to see that a Thibault is shooting a jump shot and utilizing his athleticism.
Yeah, it's good to see that he's not afraid to take the shots, right?
Yeah.
And he's doing it. He's taking the shots when they're wide open. Yesterday, he was the beneficiary of two makes. He was 2 for 3, Rome from deep. And it was that's encouraging to see. Now, he may not do that a lot, but that we see that James Harden has an eye for him when he's cutting along the baseline, making himself slashing through the middle, and getting those easier buckets at the rim. I saw him do it again yesterday where he double pumped when he got into a little bit of trouble once the pass was received. He's got to go up stronger on a few of those even when the defender is there. So
yeah.
He'll get there, though.
Well, I'm like I said, I don't want to sound like a Grinch, you know, but there's the things that the improvements are going to be made. Like 3.5 players can't meet a solid 5 or 7. But this time, and, you know, it's hopefully, you know, it'll be a 7-6 through the playoffs.
Yeah, no, okay? I hear you. Absolutely.
Take care, Devon.
You too,
and
Jerome.
Mark.
Always good to
good
hear
show.
From you, man. Thanks. And, yeah, Tom is here with us here producing the show. But, yeah, look, we are all realistic of what it is. The East is tough, man. It's not an easy road here for the Eastern Conference, but they are there. Let's see what ultimately happens here. All right, let me address this really quickly. I got a bunch of tweets yesterday, this morning when I woke up, from Stacy, Justin, Glenn, Rich. I just saw another one from, who is this, Jason, another Jason. So, Mikhail and DeAndre Ayton are doing this warm-up last night before the Portland game, and he does this dance. they're performing with the looks like the broomstick handle. They're rapping and dancing on the floor pregame, I think it is. And they won last night by like 30 points. And people were sending this to me like, get your boy, get your cousin. What's going on over here? Some of, you know, everybody's laughing, but this is what I tried to tell people. The guy is a fun dude, man. He's a clown. And he's just out there having fun. This is what he does. And they're out there enjoying themselves. They're winning games. They're the top team in the NBA. This is nothing new to me. So just everybody else just get a chance to see it. They get a chance to see it. So what can I tell you? Yeah, having a good time out there. You know what I mean?
I'm looking at the video now. Yeah, they're just enjoying themselves. I don't see anything wrong with
that.
They're having fun.
Having a good time.
Why wouldn't you have fun? You're first place in the West.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. having a good time and winning.
We've all been there and use, you know, whether it be a broom or whatever, as a microphone.
Yeah.
Whether your steering wheel, whatever you want to say. Most of us just don't do it on the NBA court in front of 30,000 people or whatever it may be. So props to Mikhail on that
one. No doubt. Yeah, I have nothing really to add to that except for welcome. Welcome to seeing it.
Pull back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't mind it. Yeah, quiet guy, all that stuff. Just goes out there, very reserved, does his work. But he is a jokester. And now everybody is having an opportunity to see it. 610-632-0975. Tyrese Maxey, Cam_EST87 says, aggressive Tyrese Maxey is the best Tyrese Maxey, Devon. Fortunate for us, it's all the time. Yeah, so, you know, I guess we have to retire the aggressive, the best Ben Simmons, you know, all that. We might have to throw it out the window. Yeah, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons.
I'm fine with that.
It looks like we're going to have to retire it now because we no longer need to discuss it and talk about it. But he decided, Kyle, to use it here for Maxey, and Maxey was tremendous in doing his work last night. He was great, man. He really was. And it was fun to see. It was also fun to see Calipari sitting right there, right off the floor. I think he was in the second row baseline. Right in front of us where we sit, the media, but during the second half where the Sixers were, it was their basket, that's where Calipari was, and I don't know if Mike mentioned, I think Mike mentioned it on the air, because Mike was talking about it with me earlier, and where Julius Randle came during the end of the timeout, but it was like an extended timeout, and he walked over to Calipari to greet him, gave him a hug. And I read his lips because, you know, he's facing us. And you can clearly hear him say, man, that bleeping Maxey is good. And me and Mike were talking about it earlier because I wanted to verify it with Mike because Mike was sitting behind Calipari. So I was like, Mike, is this exactly what, did I read his lips right with what he said? And he was like, yeah, that's exactly what he said. Julius Randle giving Tyrese Maxey some props. I guess they don't know each other all that well because of, when he came out in 2020, remember the pandemic. So Julius Randle, no one could go to, you know, you go back to your alma mater and you see the newer guys and all that stuff. He didn't have an opportunity to really do that and maybe be around some of the younger players because of the pandemic. And then they get to the league, they're just playing against each other. Yes, they have the Brotherhood of Kentucky, but that's about it. Maybe a little talk here, a little chat there. But he was like, man, this guy's bleeping good. Love to see it. The respect.
Say what you want about Julius Randle. That's still a damn good basketball player. Comeback player of the year last year. Sure, he's having a bit of a down season this year, but he's been a good basketball player in the NBA since he's been in the NBA. It's been, what, about 5 years or so now?
He's been, I think, the same amount of time as Embiid.
So about 5 years.
Six, seven, somewhere around there.
You know, he's a veteran, I guess you could call him at this point. I would call him a veteran. For him to say that, and like you said, he probably doesn't know Maxey, or at least to our knowledge, he doesn't know Maxey. For him to stick out that much, and he did last night, especially in the second half, and go over, and for both you and Mike to see a guy like Julius Randle say that about a young point guard or young combo guard that we have on this team, that is it's well deserved, and it's very cool and very awesome to hear as a Sixers fan.
No, it was dope, man. It was dope to be able to see that, and then again, Mike just verifying that for me because I was like, yeah, that's dope.
Making sure you weren't seeing things or something.
Yeah, man, because you know how sometimes you can, you're reading lips.
Sure.
It's not like this is what we do, reading lips and all that stuff, but sometimes you just, you're able to. And I was able to. And I got it right. But yeah, man, he's right. That guy is good. Good, good, good. All right. Let's get to some of this Howie Roseman stuff from the Combine, if you don't mind, Tom. Let's start off with, we have our questions about the quarterback position, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, et cetera. Who are they going to go out there and get? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Well, they basically said yesterday, as he and Nick Sirianni spoke to the assembled media at the Combine in Indianapolis, that Jalen Hurts is their guy going forward. So now it's about simply, as Howie Roseman puts it, Tom, adding around Jalen Hurts.
I think that when you talk about all the things we talked about at the end of the season, nothing's changed. I think what really has changed for us is the opportunity to add. You know, this is a great time of year for the Philadelphia Eagles, for us, for our staff, and being here and really getting everyone involved in the draft process. Starter free agency is up and coming, and so we got to continue to add good players. We got to continue to make sure that we're doing everything we can to maximize our players' ability to be successful, and certainly that starts with the quarterback position with Jalen.
The problem for many of us, and look, if they're going to go in that direction, I don't think it's going to surprise a lot of people if they decide to go with Jalen Hurts and not go after Wilson or Watson, Rodgers, or even take one of these younger guys with the first three picks in the first round. I'm not surprised by that, to be quite honest with you. I'm not surprised by that at all. The thing that's going to do it for many of us is, once again, do we trust him to make these decisions? Is he the one that we want making these decisions? And I'm really firm on what I believe, and that is no. I don't want him to, but I have to accept it for what it is, which is he is going to be the one making the decision.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, unfortunately.
I don't. But listen, man, he's going to be the one making the choice. They were talking yesterday about having the mini basketball hoop at the Combine in their room for the prospects coming in and interviewing them, taking a couple of minutes, spending some time, seeing wherever they're competitive, whatever, you know. Nick Sirianni likes to do like the rock, paper, scissors thing. Whatever, man. I mean, at this point, we know he does weird stuff that doesn't really connect with us. I don't care how many games he's won and got to the playoffs. They're just like, all right, dude, we don't care. Talk to the prospects and get it right. That's the issue. Because when you're looking at this, you're talking about character things about these players. I just want them to get it right. This is a very important draft. They have to hit on these three picks. They have to. If they're going to use all three, they have to hit on all three. If they're going to hit on, if they're going to trade one and use two, they have to hit on both of those picks. They have to hit these picks and add around Hurts, whether it's the draft, free agency, they have to get it right with the draft. They just do. They do, Tom.
Because obviously I have the same, I think we all have the same thoughts when it comes to being Philadelphia Eagles fans, where we always, you know, a lot of us, in the back of our heads, we don't really trust Howie Roseman to make these picks to make the right selection. Now,
I don't.
We've seen it, obviously, with Arthega Whiteside, and maybe that was a Lurie pick, but, you know, Howie made the pick. We saw it 2 years ago when Jalen Hurts and Jalen Reagor were the first two players drafted by the Eagles. Does last season's draft give you any sliver of hope that maybe he's learned from his mistakes, and he's gotten rid of the smartest man in the room syndrome, and he's starting to lean a bit more on his scouts? Because to me, Landon Dickerson and Devontae Smith, both being Alabama guys, both being guys, you know, that were high on draft boards pretty much unanimously all around the NFL, especially when it comes to the scouts and mock drafts and all that stuff. Part of me, and maybe I'm just being naive, is thinking that, hey, he's learned from his mistakes. He's realized that he's on a short leash, quote unquote. I don't know how short of a leash Roseman can be on.
I don't know.
But he knows he doesn't really have many screw ups left. is he going to lean on his scouts and listen to the scouts a little bit more like he maybe did last season?
Yeah.
That's my hope, at least.
I hope so, because look, Tom, they had a nice draft last year with Smith, Dickerson, Williams.
Gainwell
also.
Some nice players.
Who was the other one?
McPherson, but he didn't really play.
He didn't really play. It was the other defensive lineman. Not Williams. What's the other one? Oh, man.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the other... He was the other defensive lineman that played some snaps. 75. Oh. Who is... That's going to drive me nuts. It's going to drive me nuts.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. But anyway, they had an okay draft. When you talk about those four and then you mix in that defensive lineman that I'm talking about, at least I think I'm talking about.
Was it... Tuipulotu?
No.
Or Patrick Johnson?
Jackson. Yeah, Teron Jackson.
Excuse me.
Yeah, Teron Jackson. It was okay. I'm okay with it. I was fine with it. So you're talking about five guys right there. Feel good about McPherson? Not so much. And Tuipulotu was always on the inactive list every week. But he stuck around all year. Maybe he can do something. I don't know. They did okay last year with the draft. You got to do it again, especially with three first-round picks. Now, speaking of the three first-round picks, Roseman discussed it. Speaking of the advantages of having those first-round picks.
Basically, every team has the same salary cap number. Basically, every team has a number of draft picks. If you can get an edge, either by creating cap room or by getting more draft picks, now you have more shots to take. And so I think that's what we're really excited about, is that we got more shots than we've had in the past couple of years.
Again, can you get those right? Can you get him right? That's the question with him. They have a very, very, very good advantage with those picks, whether it's moving up, trading one back, picking up an extra pick, maybe one for next year. Whatever it is that they do have a good advantage. He has to hit on these picks. Come on, Howie. All right. Speaking of picks from a couple of years ago, one wide receiver that will forever be linked to Justin Jefferson is Jalen Reagor. I remember Rob Motti, our former colleague and friend here at the Fanatic. Rob had talked to Jefferson at the Super Bowl. And Justin Jefferson's like, yeah, I feel bad for him because he's just linked to me for, you know, he's like, maybe it wouldn't have turned out this way if I was in Philadelphia. But I landed in the spot that I did in Minnesota. It's working out for me. And I feel bad for him. He didn't ask for any of this. I thought it was funny because it's like, he's like, yeah, he's nowhere close to me.
And he never will be.
And he never will be.
And we all know that.
Yeah, but Roseman spoke about it. And listen to what he had to say. I'm curious to hear what you have to say. And I'll share, of course, what I had to say. Howie Roseman on Jalen Reagor.
We need Jalen to take another step. You know, we need Jalen to do some of the things that we drafted him to do. He knows that. There's no secret about that. We've told him the same things. And I guess after that, it's opportunity.
Be careful, Howie, because his dad will block you for speaking bad about his son. So Monte will block you if you speak bad, but he does. This is year three, man. This is make or break right here. We've already given up on him, most of us. Chad Ochocinco said, wait, normally year three, it happens. Trust me, I've worked with this guy. He can play. All right, Chad. No, but I appreciate you saying that. Because what we've seen, even though he knows more than we do, what we've seen on the field of play, when it counts, he doesn't have it. So he does have to step up. I'm glad that they finally have told him that he needs to take that next step as a receiver. And I hope that they're talking about as a returner as well, because that was one of the things that we felt like he was dangerous as coming out of college. And they could use him in that capacity, in that role. They need some help back there on kickoffs and punt returns. He needs to step up, plain and simple.
There was no, we need to put him in different and better positions. We need to have, you know, work with him harder in practice. No, that was all you need to do with Jalen Reagor. You need to, you know,
we're
make
pointing the finger at you.
That was a strong pointed finger at Reagor, and he deserves to have the finger pointed at him because you're a former first round pick. Regardless of Justin Jefferson, it was a brutal pick. You're still a first round pick. You need to have a better display on the football field than what you've shown, which is next to nothing so far in your career.
Yep, no doubt about it. And finally, we have to talk about the draft and free agency. Mention the advantage of the picks, adding around Hurts, speaking about Rager. He also talked about the draft and free agency and their approach of how things are going to go for the Birds.
Well, I think the order of operations matters here, right? So you're talking about you'll have free agency, you'll have the opportunity to see where you are, but you also don't want to get in a situation where that you don't take the best player, that you don't take a guy who's really good just because you address something in free agency. So I think what free agency does is it allows us to check boxes so we don't feel the pressure to maybe feel like we have to do something, assuming that it works out in free agency, and that's kind of how we'll look at it.
All right. We're always interested in free agency. It's this month.
It's next week, I believe.
Yeah.
Starts, yeah.
Yeah, the 13th.
And today's what, the 3rd?
Today's the 3rd, so 10 days.
Getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, you're getting a little ahead of yourself. That's okay. That's all right.
Just excited. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, you should be excited. I'm excited about this that I just saw here. but, yeah, it's... I just say it again. You got to get it right. Even with free agency, you got to get it right. Are they going to go after a wide receiver to help build around Jalen Hurts and add those pieces? Are they going to do that? So I would hope so. I would hope so that they'll at least look at it. Beginning on, teams are allowed to negotiate with prospective unrestricted free agents during a period beginning March 14th at 12 p.m. noon, ending at 4 p.m. on March 16th. Just, you know, similar to what the NBA does, where you have that moratorium where you can, the okay tampering period is what they allow these teams to do. So March 14th through 16th. So basically, we got about less than 2 weeks until free agency to see where things go from here.
Yeah, and to me, that what I got from what Howie Roseman was saying there is that he realizes that this team has a lot of needs, and it has a lot of needs when it comes to getting youth and finding franchise guys. So maybe they do plug in and sign a linebacker or a second cornerback to a one-year deal. However, if a linebacker or a cornerback is available early in the draft, just because they signed somebody to a one-year deal, a prove-it deal, doesn't mean that they're not interested in taking anyone at that position. I think they're interested in most positions going into this draft.
Yep. They should be.
As they should be.
They
yes,
should be, especially
correct.
Defensively. You need some help
especially
on the line. You need linebacker help. You need secondary help. Offensively, it's more about the wide receivers. And maybe, depending on what they're doing with the running back position, Sanders, Gainwell, Scott. What about Jordan Howard?
Yep.
I don't know. So we'll find out. Final segment for us, Tom Alvord, who I have leftovers for you in about 20 minutes. And again, free agency begins on March 16th, where that tampering period, if you will, starts on the 14th, ends on the 16th, and then boom, they can go ahead and get started on the 16th. Final segment for us, we'll wrap things up, talk a little Flyers again, falling 5-4 to the Wild. Another loss for them, remain at the bottom of the Metro. Sixers and their performance yesterday. Next up, the Cavs, Friday, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And little Birds talk. With Howard Roseman, Nick Sirianni, speaking to the media yesterday. We're discussing it all. Leftovers coming up shortly, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment, 97.5 The Fanatic. We went into Greece a little bit earlier. Flyers following Flyers hockey. They fell tonight 5-4 to the Wild. And it just, Minnesota just, you know, did what teams do against the Flyers. They just walk away with the W. They probably took them a little for granted in 5-4. But they got it done. Flyers again, 16-28-10. It's like, if you know how Matt Cord, Matt will announce the opposing team when they score? Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
That's how it is. It's like, Flyers lost.
That's pretty accurate. It is.
It's just, what are we supposed to say?
Eight of the last nine. Blew four leads in tonight's game.
16, 28, and 10.
Awesome.
42 points at the bottom of the Metro. That's it. That's what we have to do. It's who they are at this point. But they lost tonight. Next up, a game against the Blackhawks on Saturday, also at home. It'll be the seventh game of the 8-game homestand, where they have only won one so far through six. Maybe they can take one against the Blackhawks. Not a great team, but everybody feels like they can get a W against the Flyers out at this point. So we'll see what happens there. We were also talking a little 76ers and what they did last night, speaking about the game, all the good things that happened, the bad first half, but all the good things that happened. Tom, you brought up one that I totally forgot about, which needs to be addressed. I'll let you bring it up because it's a problem. It has become a problem.
Yeah. So watching the game yesterday, I couldn't help but notice Furkan Korkmaz was on the court. I believe he played about 4 minutes yesterday.
Four and some change.
I want to get his exact stats up. There's not many, but I would like to read him, you know, while I can. Mm. So he had, in 4 minutes of play, he had one assist. He went 0 for 2 from the field, 0 for 1 on a 3. One of those was an air ball. I forgot which one off the top of my head. He's just borderline unplayable. No, he is unplayable at this point in the season.
The crowd was restless with him. He had a bad turnover yesterday, and there were some boos there. People were like, all right, enough is enough. What are you doing? And not to mention, Doc, what are you doing?
Continuing to put him out there, continuing to play him, he's shooting 29.6% from three this season, 39.2% from the field. Listen, I know you signed him to a big contract. I know Doc is true to his veterans. I understand all that. Could Isaiah Joe's floor really be lower than Korkmaz's right now? Because this is his floor. We're at rock bottom, and it hasn't been a two-week stretch. Besides the first, 3 weeks of the season, maybe? Furkan's been awful this season. I would rather see Isaiah Joe out there than Furkan Korkmaz, because I understand playoffs, you usually go veterans, and Doc especially. Isaiah Joe has to give you more than Furkan is giving you, because it's not like he's an elite defender like Matisse Thybulle. He's not a good defender. I'm done with this. Now that you have Harden, I don't need him as the backup point guard. Give Furkan's minutes to Isaiah Joe. If you want it to be four, sure. I would like to see eight. I don't know. I can't see this dude on the court anymore. He gives you absolutely nothing.
So the reason why I think they trust him, of course, is he's a veteran with some athleticism and can also put the ball on the floor for, you know, some quick decisions should someone fly by him when he is receiving a pass to line up a three-pointer. He can do those things. Right now, he's in a major funk, and he needs to get out of it. A couple of games ago, he had 13. It was maybe it was the Minnesota game. He had a decent game. For whatever reason, though, all season long, shooting under 30% from three, where he was really good last season, he has to get it going, or else he might be the one that's out of the rotation when it's all said and done, because he is not making anything positive happen on the floor.
But how much longer is his leash? I understand he's got to get out of a rut, but at this point it doesn't seem like that rut is, he's able to get out of that rut. And the only thing I could say that I know definitely at this point he does better than Isaiah Joe is probably putting the ball on the floor. I think he's probably a better ball handler than Isaiah Joe. Is there anything else that you could say definitely Furkan is better at this moment than Isaiah Joe? Not last season, not his rookie year, at this exact moment, besides ball handling?
Nah, not really.
Isaiah Joe's relatively athletic, too. He'll give you effort on defense. It's just, especially when Furk's shot's not falling, which it hasn't at all, basically, there's times where he just tunes out, and it seems like he, you know, the body language isn't great at times, and he kind of checks out at points, it seems like. To me, at least, Joe will give you some effort, and, you know, I know if we're complaining about Furkan Korkmaz, and that's our biggest complaint besides a backup center, the Sixers are in a pretty good position. But it's just he does not deserve to be on that court right now. He doesn't.
No, he's not earning his minutes. Now, maybe he is in practice, but when he's out there with the games, he's not necessarily.
We're talking about practice.
We are. We are. That earns you minutes, though. And that's probably why he is getting the minutes over Isaiah at this time. Again, over Isaiah because of the veteran part as well. But he is not looking good out there at all. I mean, at all. It's a problem. And again, the crowd is restless. People are simply just saying now, had enough. Had enough of this guy.
And Isaiah Joe's not having a great season. Not that he's playing a ton. He's playing 11.8 minutes per game this season. His three-point percentage is 33.6. Not good. Not great, I would say, especially for a three-point shooter. But it's not 29% like Furkan. Maybe you give him a little bit more run. He gets a little bit more, you know, he's able to get in a groove and a feel a little bit. Maybe that number goes up a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Something needs to happen.
Something, please.
Yeah, or if he's out there, please get out of the funk that you are in. Get out of the funk.
I'll believe it when I say it.
I understand. I understand. I know people, and I'm probably going to get some phone calls or some texts because we're saying this, and people that I'm thinking of are actually listening to the show right now. They'll be like, I told you. I told you. I can't stand this guy. Get him off the floor. I was told even that around the trade deadline that there were some teams sniffing around Furkan because he is known as a shooter a little bit, can't put the ball on the floor, has decent size, and maybe he just needs to change his scenery this season. And he's going to be in the league, I'd imagine, for you and others. You just want him off your team now at this point.
Sure, and I understand. Like, every NBA team wants shooters, and every NBA team can see Furkan and be like, oh, I've seen what you've done in the past. You just need a change of scenery. I absolutely understand that. But for this Sixers team, and I'm not necessarily even asking them to be gone after the season, because it was, what, a three-year contract, I believe?
3 years, 15 million.
Yes. So, and it was relatively a nice contract when it comes to shooters in the NBA. I mean, you see some of the big money that gets thrown around. It doesn't mean he has to be going after the season. If he is, I'm not going to sit here and complain to you. But for this season, I can't have him on the court anymore. He gives me nothing.
He's giving them nothing. It showed last night, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll see what the rotation looks like tomorrow against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember, 7 o'clock start right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pre-game coverage at 6:50. I'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Jamie Lynch, beginning at 6. Draft lines, and I'm sure presented by DraftKings. I'm sure Jamie and I will go over a lot of these parlays potentially for the Sixers. James Harden, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. Maybe we'll have a Tobias Harris number for you tomorrow. See if he can get out of his funk. 14 points last night. He was 5 for 10 from the field, 50%. But we watched the game. And, you know, I just don't think he played all that well last night. The one that I really highlighted was the play on the right side of the floor. He received the ball. James Harden gave him the basketball. He was wide open for a shot on the wing from deep. He didn't shoot it because his confidence was shot at that point. He drove right into the defense, had to leap over the defense, jump past to the other wing. Tyrese Maxey, who's 6'2", had to show off his leaping ability, jump up, save it, not go out of bounds, take a dribble. The defense starts to come towards him. Matisse Thybulle recognizes that. He pops into the corner. He hits the three. 2 for 3 on the night. Great for Matisse Thybulle. Going down the other end of the floor back on the defensive side, James Harden is looking at Tobias Harris and saying, why didn't you shoot that? Tobias said something, and right there, that was my problem. There was nothing to say except for, my bad, you're right. He was justifying why he did what he did. It was almost like a Simmons, not as bad, but the Simmons play. It's like, dude, all you had to do was shoot the three. That was it. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. Shoot that three. He was in his head last night. He was in his head. He has to get out of his funk, too. And Tyrese Maxey right now is showing to be the third option offensively for this team. As I mentioned, in my opinion, there will be nights where it will be Tobias Harris getting his. He'll find his way. He'll be fine. Right now, he's the fourth option. You don't need 20 from your fourth option if that's the case. They will alternate different nights. Maxey will have it. Harris will have it. He will snap out of this. I'm not worried about it. But I would like to see just a better overall game from him. out there on the floor, because that one play really stood out and kind of magnified what where he was in his play overall and what he's thinking.
Yeah, it's obvious he's not comfortable in this offense right now. I mean, going from being the number two option for a lot of this season to now being the fourth option and being relied on as, for the most part, a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, which is not Tobias Harris's game. I think he'll figure it out. I do. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time. We knew it wasn't going to be a perfectly smooth sailing road ahead, and it seems to have worked for everybody else. Harden, Embiid, Maxey, they're not having any issues. Tobias Harris is having an issue right now. And, you know, I do think he's going to find his way out of it. It might take a couple more weeks, but I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to see a more decisive Tobias Harris and comfortableness in his role with this team going forward.
All right. Well, in this role going forward, it's 11:45 time. Al Ward, as always, the 45 of the final hour. We got to get to the leftovers and see what we missed. We already brought up some things, but let's get to it.
Yeah, you did not steal any of mine tonight, so I appreciate that very much. We are going to start at the NFL Combine. You mentioned Malik Willis, excuse me.
Tyler Zuli's guy.
That is Tyler Zuli's guy. There is another quarterback that is getting a lot of talk, and it's in the negative aspect. Kenny Pickett had his hands measured today at the Combine. They were historically small hands when it came to the NFL. They measured at 8.5 inches. Of the 663 quarterbacks measured since 1987, only 9 have measured less. That is according to Warren Sharp, big-time NFL guy. No QB in the last 5 years entered the NFL with hands smaller than Pickett's. Mike Vick came out with 8.5 measurements when it came to his hands. Taysom Hill is the only quarterback lower than 9. Burrow and Goff are exactly at 9. Now, I'm not a huge Pickett guy. Does this matter at all if you're an NFL GM? Is this a red flag to you, Devon?
No. Does he turn the ball over? Can he grip the football? Can he spin it? Does he fumble a lot? That's the thing there. Does he control the football when he's running where it's not being knocked out of his hands? I don't care. I don't think Joe Burrow, also, as you mentioned, was one who to have small hands. He's my favorite quarterback in the NFL. No, I don't care.
Don't talk about his hand size anymore.
No, just they'll talk about it because everybody talked about it, sure. And it wasn't a big issue in the end.
Yeah, and he does wear gloves to help on that grip a little bit. Obviously, you know.
All right.
I think it was fair to say, you know, to compare him to
his. Brady wore gloves. Absolutely. What he
want. And especially if you go to a town like Pittsburgh where it's a little bit colder, a northeast city, wherever it may be, where, you know, you're maybe more prone to bad weather and maybe prone to more fumbles. I could see why people would be concerned, but I don't know. If you like Pickett that much, a hand size measurement shouldn't change your opinion that much, in my opinion.
No problem for me.
All right, we are going to go over to the NBA. Brad Beal, who is out for the season after undergoing surgery on his left wrist, is still up in the air about what he's going to do when it comes to his future this upcoming offseason. He says he's in no rush on a decision for the offseason, but when a Wizards reporter asked if he's leaning towards re-signing with the Wizards, Beal responded, "It's fair." Beal is eligible for a 5-year, $246 million max contract if he declines his 36.4 player option after the season. And I know Chunas is big against Bradley Beal. He's starting to be turned off of him because he never seems to make up his mind. Beal said this, "As crazy as it sounds, this is a blessing in disguise," Beal said of his injury, "because I can see the team, I can see our young guys develop, I can see coach continue to develop too, I can see us grow. I don't have to rush into a decision, I don't have to rush into anything." Can this guy make up his mind? Like, I don't understand the back and forth when it comes to Bradley Beal.
I don't know. I do think he wants the money, and who wouldn't want $250 million 5 years? But we've seen also that, or at least heard, that players are looking to get the money, secure that, and then after 1 year, Tom, just ask out. So maybe that's what his motivation is. Maybe not. Maybe the way the season ends, he'll just be fed up and say, "All right, get me out of here." Remember the talks, Bill Simmons from The Ringer pointed out that his information was Joel Embiid wanted Bradley Beal first. So let's see what happens. Remember that report from Zach Lowe that was buzzing around that James Harden did not pick up his option at $47 million. He's going to sign, potentially sign for a little less, opening up the possibility for them to go out there and get another third player by moving on from Tobias Harris and doing that. So once the season is done, hopefully late June, it will be fun to find out what they do. It'll be fun.
Yes, it will. It absolutely will. And I got one more for you, Devon. Jack Harlow, I'm sure you're familiar, rapper, up-and-coming guy. He is set to star in a White Men Can't Jump reboot.
Oh, no.
It'll be his acting debut. Oh. He already landed a placement on Kanye West's Donda 2. The 23-year-old was hired after his first-ever screen audition, immediately winning over filmmakers and execs. This guy's like, one of the hottest, I guess, up-and-coming rappers, one of the biggest stars in hip-hop right now, I guess, when it comes to the broad scheme of things, maybe not so much underground. Do we need another White Man Can't Jump? And if we do, is Jack Harlow the guy that should be starring in it, Devon?
No, we don't need another White Man Can't Jump. You leave it alone. Some stuff you can remake, and it's going to be fantastic. All of that, I get it. Why? Why are you doing this? And can he play? Was he in the Celebrity Game?
He was in the Celebrity Game.
I didn't see much.
He hit a couple threes, but that jump shot was a little wonky.
My point, I didn't see much.
It wasn't a smooth.
I don't know what they see. Yeah. I understand that he is a star in music and all that and entertainment. I don't see it. Who's going to be a partner with him? Who's going to be
West? I don't think they announced it yet.
Come on, man.
Those are big shoes to fill, though.
Him and Drewski, because him and Drewski are tight.
They are funny together.
All right, they're funny together. But unless you have a spin on it, because he's totally different body type than Wesley Snipes. Leave it alone.
It seems like Hollywood and things in general, it's so unoriginal. Everybody's running out of ideas. We don't need reboots on everything, and we don't need second movies of those reboots 2 years later. Like, come on, can we find some creativity, Hollywood? And
those
are the leftovers for tonight, Devon.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that just ruined things for me.
I'm sorry, man.
Goodness gracious. All right, man. Well, listen, thanks for hanging out with us here tonight, Tom. Really appreciate it. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us, listening. I'll be back tomorrow again, 6 o'clock. Draft Lines with Jamie Lynch. Be safe. 6 is tomorrow here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.